wider and wider, and the grille, bumper, and headlights of a massive vehicle appeared. With a roar of its engine, it lunged forward, and as it did, it stretched and split the orifice to a towering height. Indeed, it was a monster wag, black, dripping with oil. A helmeted figure, the driver, sat behind the gleaming windshield. As the front wheels appeared out of empty space, so did the nose cone of an enormous red and white missile looming high above the cab. It had the word 5 written on its side. With another roar of its engine, the huge truck tractor emerged from the opening with 100 feet of cargo. As the oil-dripping tail fins of the missile and the rear of the truck bed cleared the slit, it slammed shut with another clap of thunder. The apparition didn't completely disappear, though. Ryan could still see something hanging there in space, vague, glittering, a spinning mist. He noticed that all the people in black armor were giving the affected area an extremely wide berth. His first thought about the wagon rocket was that they had to have come through some kind of Matrans gateway. He and the companions had uncovered the pre-dark white coat technology and used it whenever they could to move around Deathlands. It was part of the Totality concept, an ultra-secret U.S. program to develop weapons for future warfare. One of the research missions under the Totality concept umbrella, known as Operation Cerberus, involved the transfer of matter, organic and inorganic, from one remote location to another. Another mission had been the time trawling that had brought Doc Tanner forward from the past. As far as Ryan knew, the matter transfer process was confined to gateway chambers that were airtight and lined with armaglass. All transfer was along a network of such chambers hidden around the world in fortified underground redoubts. There sure as blazes wasn't a gateway chamber in the middle of Moon Boy. And even if there was, he'd never seen one big enough to handle a load this size. The missile had 3 stages and sat in a specially padded cradle on the truck trailer's bed. And it came with its own loading crane, which was part of the chassis of the truck. After conferring with the driver, the colonel stepped over to Ryan and untinted his helmet.
It's time for us to make a deal.
What do you want from me?
Just some cooperation. You know things that we want to know.
And in return, I get what?
You get to live, and so do your friends.
Ryan had been wondering when the subject would get around to his companions.
The others are long gone by now. Vanished into that desert out there like a pack of muty prairie dogs.
The remark made the colonel smile.
You think that's funny?
See the top stage of the rocket?
It was conical, like the nose of a bullet. Ryan wasn't impressed.
If you brought that thing here to nuke something, I hate to break it to you, but you're 100 years too late.
It's not a nuke. That's our eye in the sky, friend. Once it's aloft, we'll be able to use it to count the hairs on a prairie dog's butt, if we so desire.
Ryan shrugged.
Whatever gets you through the night.
But it's not just a spy satellite. The onboard laser cannon has an effective range of 500 miles and can bullseye a target the size of a man's head. After it's in orbit, the laser can be remote-fired from anywhere on the planet. Zap! And your hat size is 0.
The colonel paused for this to sink in, before continuing.
Are you going to cooperate with us?
Ryan didn't answer right away.
Consider what you've already seen our shoulder-fired pulse weapons do, if you think we're bluffing.
What sort of cooperation are you looking for?
You do what we say. Answer our questions. No resistance. No lies.
Until?
Until we decide we're done with you.
And the alternatives?
Actually, there's only one. We foam you now and crisp your friends as soon as the satellite achieves orbit. Take your time and think about it. You've got 15 seconds.
Ryan didn't have to think about it. Based on what he'd seen, he was pretty sure the colonel could deliver what he had promised.
Just tell me what you want from me, and I'll do it.
Good. Nara here is going to escort you back through the passageway.
The woman stepped up behind Ryan.
Through what passageway?
Nara will show you.
The blonde woman put her gloved hand to the middle of his back and gave him a push in the direction of the spinning mist. It was no gentle shove. She was a lot stronger than she looked. The push from behind lifted the soles of his boots from the ground and sent him flying forward. He should have regained his balance as his body lost speed and his feet landed. But neither of those things happened, because he never lost speed. Gripped by the tornado's suction, he flew faster and faster, Ryan clamped his eyes shut as the glittering light flared in his face. Then a thunderclap half deafened him. When he opened his eye, he glimpsed a giant, toothless maw gaping wide. And inside that, blackness. It swallowed him whole. With a boom of thunder still echoing around the ridgetop, the truck and its awesome cargo appeared. Through his binocs, it looked to JB as if it were driving out of a tunnel. Tunnel that didn't exist.
By the three Kennedys! What a conjuring trick!
JB lowered the binocs.
Dark night, Doc, keep it down!
Looking into Doc's twinkling, unfocused eyes, JB got a sinking feeling in the pit of his stomach. He thought for sure the old man's brain had again come unstuck, and he was afraid he was going to start shouting and clapping for an encore, something that was bound to give away their position. Before JB let that happen, he'd cold cock him. He balled up a fist and held it ready by his side. But Tanner dropped the crazy smile and refocused his gaze on JB's angry face.
My apologies, John Barrymore. I was momentarily overwhelmed.
Yeah.
JB turned to Mildred.
It wasn't magic that made that rig appear out of thin air. How do you think they did it? Some new kind of mat-trans?
Your guess is as good as mine. Safe bet, though, that whatever the process is, they used it to bring themselves, the black aircraft, and the rest of that stuff here.
What do you make of the missile?
I suppose it could be pre-dark. From a distance, one missile looks pretty much like another, except for the external markings. The markings on that one aren't from any military I've ever heard of. Either it's a century old and has been repainted to look like that, or it's new gear.
The wag that's hauling it is definitely new. Never saw a design like that, with a crane attached. It's meant to move nothing but that missile. I think you might be right about science still being alive somewhere around here.
At least we've laid to rest the outer space connection.
Doc referred to the clearing of black helmets they'd witnessed, and the heads visible inside.
Under that Stygian armor, they're as human as any of us.
And they're using some obviously derivative technology.
Stone chillers.
Jack got no debate there. What little was left of the canny sniper lay soaking into the dirt of the street. Nearby, Ryan stood surrounded by black figures.
We've got to do something to get Dad out of there before they hurt him.
JB raised the binocs again. He knew the boy was right. Trouble was, he couldn't think of a single rad-blasted way to save him. The armorer watched the black figure step behind his old friend and give him a push toward the middle of the road where the truck had appeared. Ryan stumbled forward into a hard flash of light. Thunder boomed, and the one-eyed man slipped into the tunnel that wasn't there.
Red fucking blast!
Where'd he go? Ryan just vanished!
As they watched, the figure in black who'd shoved him disappeared as well, stepping into a slit in the air. There was another boom as the opening slammed shut.
They've taken him!
Well, we're going to get him back.
As Christy began pushing up from the rocks, the black woman caught her by the arm.
Wait, Christy. We've got to think this thing through.
Ryan's still alive. We're not going to abandon him. He would have never done that to us.
No one's suggesting anything like that. We need a plan of attack, some kind of strategy if we're going to have any hope of succeeding. What do you say, JB? What can we do?
Canny's didn't fare too well against them. I'd say our odds are about the same.
That's a big help.
I'm just trying to be realistic. Problem is, we don't know how to chill these folks.
Anything that lives can be killed. It's just a matter of finding a way.
A way that doesn't get us all chilled first.
A plan, JB?
The armorer sucked in a breath and let it out slow. Then he picked up a stick and started drawing in the dirt. By the time he was done laying it all out for them, the sun was starting to sink into the bank of purple clouds to the west. Beneath the bank of clouds, chain lightning flashed over the high mountaintops. In the eye of the storm, the earth frothed and boiled under an acid rain downpour. For better or worse, it was time to make their move. Ryan awakened to the sound of his own voice screaming, to terrible pain and pressure below his good right eye. He tried to twist away from the hurt, but he couldn't move his arms or legs. Someone above him spoke.
Leave the red blasted eye alone.
After a second, the horrible pressure lifted. blinking away tears, Ryan opened his eye and saw a calloused thumb with a filthy, jagged nail pulling back from his right cheek. The owner of the thumb, a man with a round face and dirt-caked black stubble of